Welcome to Mindful Mostly. I'm Andrea Collins, and I'm pretty into mindful living. I mean, mostly. I'm a girl in my 30s that really wants to live her healthiest, most mindfully motivated life, but I am not perfect at it or anything. I love me a green smoothie, but have been known to take down a couple Diet Cokes. And this show is about that kind of balance. It's a wellness show, but an honest one. No judgment here, sister. Today, we're going to help you get your ass in gear when it comes to actually starting that something in your life. You've been wanting to do it for what feels like forever now, and I guarantee you, after this show, you will make that first step. And Brittany Turner from thecouragecollective.ca is going to help us do that. Plus, we'll zip up the show with a little challenge, your Mindful Mostly mission for the week. But first, if you are digging the podcast, let us know by subscribing on iTunes and leaving a review. That's like the creme de la creme for podcasting. It's like when someone tells you you look pretty, even though you're wearing sweatpants and forgot to put on deodorant. The best, right? Plus, I want to know what you're doing when you're listening, so please tag the show at Mindful Mostly, and I'll share it on my Insta story. Now, before we get this rolling, though, it is time for your soul nugget of the week, and it's this. If it makes you happy, do it. If it doesn't, then don't. Brittany Turner is here from the Courage Collective. She is amazing. She will keep you in line with your life. She is a personal coach, also a wellness consultant. Hi, girl.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. Now, so you're a personal coach. So can you sort of describe what you would do for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in a couple different capacities, specifically with 20 and 30 somethings, mostly women, but I'm not exclusive to women. Mm-hmm. And so I bring people in either in a one-on-one capacity or maybe in a group workshop, and I'm basically the guide. I am like hiring a coach for training, like at the gym, let's say, a trainer, but for your life. So it's around, you know, making change, creating a plan of action. It's for when you're dying to get out of like a stuck feeling and you're ready for something new. So it's just good conversation, asking questions, being honest, and really collaborating.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And holding people accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
when you have somebody that you know you're going to talk to on Friday and it's Monday and you're being kind of pessimistic, you're like, I've got to do it because I've got to talk to Brittany on Friday. Yeah. And otherwise she's going to lay the smack down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I lie the smack down in the most loving way, but I can do it. Yeah, I think the accountability is the most important because we can be lazy and we have tons of excuses, but those don't really work on a personal coach.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, okay, so on that note, what are you going to tell us about today?
So let's talk a little bit about the power of starting and just getting started.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, the two of us see how this has worked magic and wonders in our own lives of that feeling of like, I'm never going to be ready for something, accepting that and not waiting for perfection or that readiness, but instead just starting. And how learning through doing is actually the most powerful piece.
For sure, because I guess we feel like we need to know how to do it before we start.
For sure, yeah.
But that's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be the order of things.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, I'm sort of living proof of that. Like I was not working at all in the field that I'm working now and knew that I love certain aspects of what a coach did, listening to people, helping people, guiding and giving advice. And I could have waited years to get, you know, more education and more certifications and not quit my job to make the space to actually do it. But I just decided to cut it all. And I can say 110% that the biggest lessons I've learned were through the actual doing. So the actual coaching with real people who trusted me to do that with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the first step in starting something that you've been kind of thinking about for probably a bit too long?
Yeah, so I think the first step is really mapping it out, like looking at what you want and making a plan, maybe consulting with someone who you trust and sharing your ideas, bouncing them off that person, and just finding out, you know, what, asking yourself this question, what is something that I can start and do today, right? So whether it be more research, reaching out to someone to take them to coffee or lunch or something to learn a little bit more, instead of waiting, you know, to sign up for that course or for that course to come, like what can you physically do today to get started? And just do it. I find, you know, with that accountability piece, you don't necessarily need to hire a coach. What if it's a person that you trust, a friend or family member, to you sort of recruit to be that accountability partner? I think that can be really effective too.
For sure. Every Friday, my girlfriend Nat and I have a standing phone date where we have to keep each other accountable. And even for this podcast, she would be like, how's the podcast coming along? And it would be like, oh, well, you know, I got busy with other things. And then after saying that to her 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I thought, okay, I got to finally do something about it, because I don't want to be that person that dreamscapes but doesn't follow through.
Yeah.
Because that does nothing for your confidence either.
No, it doesn't. And I think it starts to, you start to bury yourself in like that fear hole, right? Like the more you let your imagination run off with what could go wrong, how people are going to judge you, how vulnerable you'll feel, you just, that keeps growing, right? And the opposite can be true, where when you start to practice the confidence and the doing, then that grows in the exact same way, just in a more positive direction.
For sure. Because there are people that will maybe unknowingly try to bring you down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you've told them your idea and they think it's silly, or they say, well, what do you know about that? But if you just start doing it and start learning, then screw them. Eventually, you will be the professional in that area. You just got to start moving.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest realization for me is that no one knew what they were doing when they started. Even, you know, coming out of school with an education that is supposed to prepare you for something, when you actually get into the workforce, you know, you sort of still feel like a fish out of water. And it's that experience under your belt that's going to help. And I don't know, like the finding a way to detach yourself from other people's opinions is huge. I think it's a life work, really, that process. But, you know, how can you find ways to better your own self-talk and detach yourself from other people's opinions?
Is this something that you see with a lot of your clients, that maybe they work in finance and they've just been wanting to open a herbal tea cafe or a yoga studio or whatever? They want to start working in a completely different field. But then their friends go, what? That's not you. Mm-hmm. That's so silly. Like, how are you going to make a living? Mm-hmm. And so people let others' perceptions of them dictate what they should be.
Absolutely. That's so much of what our fear is embedded in, is what will people think of me? And that is toxic to any growth, I think. And I mean, I grew up dancing, so I was, you know, in front of a mirror 3 days a week in the tightest clothing being criticized. I love dance and I love my career in dance, but it also fed that like self-comparison, the self-consciousness, that questioning and doubt, right? And I think it's embedded in so many, especially when we talk about the female mind. Mm-hmm. I think it's always there.
What other tips can you give us?
You need to really figure out what makes you, you. Okay, so there's a lot of people doing work in the wellness industry. And when I jumped into it, I was like, oh my gosh, why does my voice matter? Because there are so many people doing it, quote unquote, better than me, right? I can list them all. But what I realize is that there's actually room for everyone. Okay, so what makes what you're saying and doing unique?
Your special sauce.
First off, it's you presenting it. And so no one is going to say it like you can. And I think really embrace that and sort of capitalize on that.
Yeah, and we've all got a gift. We may not have thought about it that way before, but if you kind of pause, you might go, uh-huh, yeah, I've got one.
It's funny. This is sort of back to what we were talking about before. I was listening to a podcast on my way here, obviously. It was Oprah's Super Soul Conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Love
those.
What's her first name? Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, Elizabeth?
Yes. And she was talking about perfection as like fear is the thing that holds everyone back from doing what they want. And that perfection is just fear, like the couture version of fear. And I think we pride ourselves sometimes, well, I hear it more from women than men, that I'm a perfectionist. I want to make sure this is all right and good. And that could be, you know, that's toxic in its own way too. So, you know, mapping out what you want, maybe putting in tangible deadlines, finding that accountability partner, perhaps figuring out your you-ness and really defining that, because I think that can propel you forward in so many ways. And it helps you to define what you're doing a little bit better. When someone asks you, what are you all about? You can say. And then I think just working on that self-talk piece again. So maybe starting a self-love journal or a gratitude journal to sort of be like that foundation of when you deal with rejection and all the challenges that come with starting new, you have something to fall back on, mm-hmm. especially when you have people in your ear telling you can't do it or you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to be your biggest motivator.
Yeah. And then, I mean, guys, we have Google. Literally, I've taught myself everything. I did not know how to, like, run my own business. And, you know, taxes were a terrifying idea, or building a website. Like, I did all of that myself because I Googled it and I put time aside to stay up longer hours and really push myself and believe that I could do just as well as the person next to me, right? And I think we can't take for granted all of those resources mm-hmm. that are at our fingertips, right?
For sure. When you believe in yourself and you act on it, then mm-hmm. you're basically unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
They say that so many people in the world have done well because they just went out and did it, whereas like the rest of us just sort of sit and kind of dream about doing it.
Yeah, I think the choice to not do it is just as powerful as the choice to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of, you know, you're setting yourself up for, it's kind of a recipe for regret when you don't try.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that, you know, people are sort of paying less attention to you than you think. So when you're worried about this judgment or what will people think or I'm not good enough, I mean, I've changed things so much over a year and a half, and no one notices these little minute things that I'm obsessing over.
For sure. That's definitely something to remember. Nobody gives as much of a shit as we do.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Or they're not as quick to judge either as we think they are.
Absolutely. I think that it's admirable, someone taking a leap of faith and putting themselves out there. Even the process of, like, you know, writing up what you want to do and sending that as like a pitch or proposal to, you know, you don't have to put it out there on Facebook or something to, you know, people who may be mean to you, but to a group of like 10 trusted mentors, family members, whomever, and ask for their feedback. Feedback is something that I had to get used to and, you know, digesting and being okay with. And I think if you practice that from the jump, you're only going to, you know, grow whatever you're creating quicker and better in the end.
So if people take some of these steps that you've told us today, generally, how long does it take to see those results? You have people come in, you've given them these same guidelines. What do you notice with people, your clients?
Yeah. So I typically work with people over 5 sessions and usually over the course of 3 months. So I think a 3-month span is totally feasible for something like this to transform and just like plant the seed and actually start to create things. And it's attributed so much to taking advantage of the resources that we have. Often people's side hustles are all created online, so it's not like you need tangible things, so a timeline can be quite short. It's a good measure of like if you actually care about the thing you're doing or not as well, right? Because if you do, you're going to go really hard.
For sure. And that's why when you start a business, they say write a business plan, right? Make sure it's feasible and you still love it.
Yes.
When the hard work comes into it.
Absolutely.
You are amazing. You make me just want to get out and start things.
thank you.
So people, you can track down Brittany at thecouragecollective.com. Is that right?
.ca.
.ca. Mm-hmm. Also, you won't find her on Instagram because she's actually one of those people that gave it up. Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo. Brittany Turner, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Your Mindful Mostly mission happens every single show, and it's your challenge for the week. This one, I love. It's build an altar. An area where you can journal, you can breathe, you can escape from your loved ones. And this is fun because this is your space to surround yourself with all of the things that you love. Candles, incense, crystals, comfy pillows, chips. No, don't bring those. Actually, maybe. Who says you can't? Sure, bring them. Regardless, make it your little space. And if you're thinking, I live in a 600 square foot apartment, people are going to come over and they're going to be surrounded by my crystals and think I'm a weirdo. You could always also just have like your little to-go altar box. It's a shoebox. You can put all those things in it and unload it wherever you want. Yeah. And you know what? You can even travel with that thing. Ding, ding. Either way, make this little space for you. A place that when you go there, your phone doesn't come. Okay. Okay, fine. If you want to get an Instagram of it and tag Mindful Mostly, that's fine. But then put it away and just use this space to, you know, think about how you're going to take that first step to starting something like Brittany was talking about or whatever you want to do. Discovering random hairs on your body, that's fine too. Somewhere where you can go and you can be on your own and clear your mind. And that is episode 3 of Mindful Mostly. I'm Andrea Collins. Please, if you are enjoying this podcast, subscribe on iTunes. It's super simple. You just click that little subscribe button. Leave a comment. That would be awesome too. And follow us on the gram at Mindful Mostly. Talk to you next week.